Good morning. Noah, will you come up here, please? Hey, bud. This is Noah. He is the youth pastor at Central Baptist in Owosso, and he is the leader of this group. And he's a quiet person, as you can tell. Introduce us to your sponsors.
Introduce us
to the kids.
So these are the kids, stand up kids. So this little group, and you guys can clap for them today. So this group, you guys can sit down. So this group of teenagers, they gave of a portion of their fall break to come here and lead a small VBS for you guys. It was wonderful. It was a success. But we also have leaders here. There is Robert. You can stand up, Robert. Robert is wonderful. There's Jim Nottingham. She's wonderful. And Katie Wilkerson. So, but we just kind of got laid it on our hearts to reach out to Sequoia Hill. I don't know the whole story. I don't know that I haven't been here. You guys are the people who have been here. That have been strong in the times where you could have been weak. You've been faithful in the times when you could have given up. And this church is still here. This church, God is still moving in this community. So we wanted to give back to you guys. I've been inside of situations at a big church, small church, medium-sized church. Man, the needs of the church, the need for us to come together as a body, as a kingdom-minded people, is extremely important. So I pray that you guys can feel that love. These teenagers, they're crazy awesome. They are audaciously in love with God. And we wanted to use that to the glory of God. So I'm glad. Thank you for having us and allowing us to come and serve you guys.
Thank you. Now, one more minute. I know you don't have a pastor at your church, so you're probably running wild. So
yes.
I'm going to kind of control you, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, what can our church pray for your church? And what can we pray for your youth group?
You can pray for our church to continue to be united in God, and that we will find the man that God wants to fill the pulpit, fill that position. We're in need of a pastor. We do have the search committee, and they're doing their thing. We just need it bathed in prayer. I know that's a churchy phrase, but that's exactly what we need. We need our church bathed in prayer that we will find the man that God has for us, and then specifically for our youth, that God will continue to grow them in the Lord, and that they will not shy away from faith.
So let me do that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Father, I thank you for Noah and for his heart. I thank you for his leadership. And I pray for Central Owosso that, first of all, you would keep them united in the main purpose, which is to reach others, and that, Lord Jesus, you already have the man prepared, that you would lead them together at the perfect time, and that this incredible church would have its leader. And I pray for these students and these sponsors. I pray they would continue to have a deep, intimate fellowship with you. And I pray, Lord, that they would continue to grow and that their hearts would only get more tender and their hearts would more and more reflect yours. We thank you so much for what they've done for us, and we thank you so much for what you're going to do for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. We are teaching through the six functions of the church. And with those six functions of the church, there are three statements that I want to make about Sequoia. And as I've been here for these months, I just believe these statements are true. Number one, I believe that we believe that loving relationships should permeate every aspect of the church. Loving relationships should permeate every aspect of the church. That speaks to the function of ministry and service and fellowship. And one thing that is true of us is that we believe that loving relationships should permeate every aspect of this church. Secondly, we believe in participation in anointed worship is necessary response to a loving God. Don't miss the word necessary. It's not optional. Worship isn't optional. It's a necessary response when you talk about and understand all that Jesus Christ has done for you and has done for me. You do not understand what Jesus has done if you do not want to worship. I even believe you do not understand what Jesus has done if sometimes you don't just have that transcendent moment when you get lost in worship and all you think about is Him. You're not thinking about who's leading. You're not thinking about who's playing. Your goal is to delight the heart of God with your praise. And then finally, we believe that lost people matter to God and therefore must matter to us. Every person in this community matters to God. And Jesus died for them. And therefore, they must matter to us. And this includes the functions of discipleship, evangelism, and missions. And today we're going to talk about missions. We've talked about the others, and now we're going to close out this series with missions. And here's a vision that maybe the mission team will come up to something like that, but the goal, the vision is that every person who attends Sequoia Hills will embrace their call from God to evangelize the world. What's on God's heart is the world. That every person who attends Sequoia Hills will embrace their call from God to evangelize the world. Now, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're going to use that as our text. This is out of the English Standard Version. But you will receive power from when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now that's a statement. Dr. Luke is just simply saying that when you become a believer and you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power. You'll receive power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. In Judea. Jerusalem would be Owosso. Jerusalem would be Tulsa. Judea would be Oklahoma. And Samaria. I think the way I could best describe Samaria is Muslim countries. Muslim countries. To the end of the earth. It doesn't say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you could be my witnesses. It doesn't say you should be my witnesses. What is the word there in your translation? Will. So here's a clue. If you do not have the world on your heart, there's a blockage somewhere in your life where you've blocked the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. Because when the Holy Spirit has control of you, when the Holy Spirit has filled you, you have a heart for the world. Not only that, you have a power to do something about a lost, dark, suffering world. And the question is, do you? Now turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, this is and we're going to read it out of the ESV again, verse 35. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, if you consider yourself to be a disciple of Jesus, listen carefully. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray. Now, I love the way that Peterson paraphrases it in the message. Listen to this. Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Jesus proclaimed, what a huge harvest, he said to his disciples, and how few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. So I would challenge us as Sequoia that we do that. We pray for harvest hands. Every Wednesday night when we have our prayer meeting, one part of it should be praying for harvest hands. Lord, bring people who have a heart for the world, who have a heart that's like your heart. Now, what a missions ministry is going to look like, it's going to have some things. First thing, it needs to have 2020 vision. We need to see that there is a vast, overripe harvest ready to be gathered. Now, when you look at these neighborhoods right around this church, there is a vast, overripe harvest ready to be gathered. Now, Satan will tell us they're not, but Jesus says they are. Who are you going to believe? I tell you what, we must see the multitudes like Jesus did, without hope. Because, ladies and gentlemen, society is not going to help them. The government certainly is not going to help them. Better education will only make them smarter in their misery. What they need is Jesus, and the hope of the world is Jesus. It's nothing else. And the church should be the body of Christ in this community. And that's what we're trying to do. I give us that. We're trying to be his body, his hands, his feet. And then we have Central Owosso, who's coming and trying to be his hands and his feet in our community. And we are grateful for that. We are just as committed as they are to reaching this community. Let me give you a hint. You remember the story of the little tax collector? What was his name? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed upon a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. Will you come down from that tree? I had a little kid one day. I was going to do that in front of the whole church, and he said, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, get your butt out of that tree. I don't think that's in the English translation, but it certainly is in the Greek. I kind of love the way kids tell it like it is. I don't think Jesus said that, okay? Do not send me emails. But you see, the one passage says he looked at the multitudes, but ladies and gentlemen, what he did was he focused on an individual. You'll begin to love the multitudes when you focus on the individuals in that multitude. Each one of us needs to have one of the neighbors in this community who's lost that we're praying for. That individual, if we begin to love them, will help us love the multitude. Jesus was like a laser to people. Woman at the well, Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, the rich young ruler. Jesus was always concerned about the multitudes, but he always went to an individual in the crowd, up a tree, where they were. He always found a person who was hurt. If you begin to pray for one, the multitudes become exciting. Let me just ask you, what, in your prayer life, who are the lost people you're praying for? And are you praying for harvest hands to reach them? And it just may be you, probably will be you if they're on your heart, that he sends. The next thing it will take is harvest hands. Ekbalo means thrust out. He said, pray that harvesters would be thrust out into the community. The people were knee-deep in religious leaders, but the harvest hands were few. There used to be an old song called, my table is full, but my fields are empty. People love to gather at my table, but they don't want to share me. Why are there so few harvest hands? Field hands have a hard life. A laborer expects hard work. And there must be a desire, an urgency to get into the field. Ladies and gentlemen, we must leave the confines of the ivory tower and get into the field. And students, you did that. Thank you. But it applies to everyone. Matthew 11:1 says, after Jesus finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. God deliver the church from non-working supervisors who really aren't field hands. God deliver the church. And as both of our churches are looking for pastors, we need pastors who are field hands. We don't want a non-working supervisor. That's the last thing we need. And then we need to pray for them, for harvest hands. We need to ask God, Lord, send people to our church. Harvest hands. people who have the world on their heart and who has this community on their heart and who loves the people and will enter into a relationship with us and help us reach this community. And the world, I think if you only focus on your community and not the world, you ultimately will die. And I think if you only focus on the world and not your own community, you ultimately will die. I think it's all of it. We have to have the world and Tulsa on our hearts. Well, let me tell you something. Here's the cost of commitment to missions. Here's what it's going to cost. It's going to be a lifetime of very hard work. And I think many of you know that already. You're involved in it. It doesn't ever get easier. Ever. You think Satan's going to take a vacation or he respects your retirement age? It's never easy. And Jesus said the world would treat us just like it treated him. It wasn't easy. It's a lifetime of very hard work. Let's be honest, that's why most people don't do it. And then it must be a conviction. It must be a conviction. I must know this is what God's called us to do, and I am convinced, and nothing ever is going to sway me from doing what God's called me to do. It's going to take conviction. And finally, it will necessitate trust and dependence upon God. It will necessitate trust and dependence on God. We can't do it. We can't do it without Him. 2 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." In John 15:5, he says, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And then Paul reminds us that through him, we can do all. It's just a trust and dependence on Him. Ladies and gentlemen, He's going to give us what we need and who we need if we pray, because He has the world on His heart. Jesus died for the world. And you think about it. He left and He had 11 men, and He entrusted your salvation to those 11 men. And if they didn't do what He asked them to do, make disciples of all nations, you and I would be lost today. Now, what about the ones who come after us? Who's depending on us? We have no idea. But God does. He knows. And we can't let them down. And we can't let down the people who have sacrificed so that this church is here. We must carry on. Dawson Trotman, who founded the Navigators, wrote a little tract called The Need of the Hour. And the title of this sermon is The Need of the Hour. Let me tell you what the need of the hour is, and then I'm done. Dawson Trotman writes, I believe it's an army of soldiers dedicated to Jesus Christ who believe not only that he is God, but that he can fulfill every promise he's ever made and that there isn't anything too hard for him. That's what we need. That's the students you need, Noah, in your youth group. You need a group, an army of soldiers dedicated to Jesus Christ who believe not only that he's God, but that he can fulfill every promise he has ever made and there isn't anything too hard for him. So you think it's too hard for him to fill this room with people who are seeking? It's not too hard for him. So what is our part? Prayer. He said pray. And once you start praying, you'll start going. And he will lead you how to go. And that's what our team is trusting right now, isn't it? We trust that he's going to show us the next steps for this church. And he will, because he has the world on his heart. And so do we. Amen? Amen. We would love to baptize someone every week or someone's. And you know that one of the things I'm praying for this church is that every day someone will come to Jesus Christ through someone who is a part of this fellowship. Because the Lord added to the church daily in Acts. Though I have not even told you how to become a believer, and I want to do that before we close. I want you to know that if you've never received Jesus Christ, he is the hope of your life. We have all fallen far short because we've all sinned. And God knew that, but he loved us, and he sent Jesus to die on a cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, God's wrath was appeased. And our sins were forgiven, which means God no longer is our enemy that we made. God is our friend, and that we can have total, absolute forgiveness. And you can walk out of here a new person. You can walk out of here not only a new person, you can walk out of here with a new family. We'll adopt you into this family in about a second. You see, that's who we are. We are people who someone shared that you need Jesus. We knew it. We responded, and our lives have never been full of joy like they are now in the midst of the struggle, because we are forgiven. Amen. We're going to sing, and it's not going to be long, just an opportunity. And if you, when we sing, it's an opportunity for you to come forward. And if you come forward, I'd be glad to show you from Scripture how you become a believer in Jesus. You can come forward to pray. This stairs are, can become an altar for you. You can come and give your desire to join our church. Whatever decision God's laid on your heart, we want you to do it. If he didn't lay one on your heart, we want you to pray for those who need to. Okay? I'm going to pray, and then we'll have our invitation. Father, we thank you for those who've gone before us and whose the fruit of their labor has caused us to know you. May we be faithful in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We love you and we thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? And if God has laid a decision on your heart, you just please come forward and I'll help you.